Bienvenidos to the 50-50 Spanglish Podcast. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
In this episode, estamos hablando about the trip highlights that we went to. We've gone places this year.
Yeah.
Sin feria, pero ahí andamos. We're going to talk about the highlights, the things that we noticed culturally. And out of those places that we've been to, ¿dónde nos sentimos more at home?
Always and more.
Coming up. And once again, everyone, bienvenidos to the 50-50 Spanish Podcast. This is your host, Jesse.
And this is Jessica.
You know, now that we're officially back and we've been back for like a long time now, I want to say that two episodes in.
Let's talk forever.
Let's talk a long time. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny because last episode mencionamos de que, you know, we started the business and we started talking about how, you know, we're trying to get everything rolling and at the same time keep our head above water.
And not die.
But
also live life.
And I went full YOLO. Like, el momento que no me morí, dije, okay, looks like I am not going to die this year. It's cuando dije, let's go.
Yeah.
Vamos.
We bought an RV.
We went dry camping. We did. We spent the entire summer up in Xolo. That was nice.
That was amazing.
Shout out to some family members that I have. I'm not going to say their names, you know, because I don't want to know if she wants it. No, it's fine. Shout out to Pichus and the 5 million kids that she has.
Our babies.
They're not really kids anymore, man.
They're not.
They're old.
The twins turned 11.
One of them wants to start dating. I don't even know if I want to say that because, like, what if they break up, you know? Like, what if they, what if, like, after this episode comes up and they're not even dating anymore, you know? Anyways, they're old. They're getting old.
Then we're gonna snip this and tag him.
Oh, yeah. We can tag him and be like, hey, man, just let you know that, okay, it's too bad that you didn't make it. You didn't make the cut, the final draft.
But yeah, we were out there and then Jesse almost died. We had to come home. So we drove an RV. How many hours? 3 hours down a mountain.
That was fun. That was fun.
A couple times.
I enjoyed that. Bastante.
Jesse didn't die. And then we got invited to go to Cancun.
That was interesting. So
very interesting.
The guys that I was working with, you know, I mentioned last time, okay, I was, you know, I was trying to learn how to run my business, the biggest thing you could get up in that is how to market it. And of course, I started working with some guys that do precisely that. They do social media marketing.
And they have a yearly, right? They wanted to start like a yearly like event.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because at first they said that the company will do yearly retreats, but he actually was doing some masterclass that he was going to do in person, right? And I was like, okay, that sounds cool.
But you had declined because we were going to be with our family for the whole summer, basically. Y luego we didn't really have the money.
No, because
for that kind of trip.
Yeah, because he was just like saying, hey man, if you can buy your ticket there, then, you know, since it wasn't a work retreat or anything, it was more of like his own class that he was going to be hosting or whatever. He's like, hey, look, if you want, you can, you know, buy the plane ticket. Yeah, you've almost a stud. And I was like, okay, cool. Appreciate that. Right. However, after I almost died, I think he felt bad.
Me?
No, he.
Oh,
yeah. I think Billy felt
bad. We all did.
He's like, hey, do you just want to come?
Yeah, that was sweet.
That was really nice of him. Billy, you did not have to do that, but I appreciate it. And I got to meet everybody there. So we were in Cancun. Ahora, nunca hemos ido a Cancun.
No, the people know.
People know. Like, you guys, the most Mexico hemos ido es aquí luego. Like, we go to Mexico right here.
You
know?
I mean, íbamos a ir a Guadalajara en agosto, and our passports no llegaron.
Oh, that's right. Our passports
are not here. So, como ya teníamos esos planes, we were like, we can't go to Guadalajara and then like a month later Cancun.
Yeah,
that's not in our budget. So no, dijimos que no, but then our passports weren't here, so then we were like, well, then we're not going anywhere porque passports are taking forever. The week that we had that you got sick, that we had to come back into town is cuando fuimos al correo and our passports were here. So it was just too many things that we were like, let's just go, let's just take advantage of the hospitality.
Yeah.
The sweet gesture.
Yeah, that's it.
Estamos vivos, estás bien. You were still healing. You were still recovering, basically.
I was, yeah. I was.
No podías levantar nada pesado. No te podías meter al agua.
Yeah, not at first, no. Yeah, so it was so interesting because it was exactly that. Fue, the mentality fue from, oh, it's not the right time. You know, no tenemos el dinero. Like, no se va a poder. To like, bro, casi te morías.
Yeah. Like, y no fuiste a Guadalajara and your passports are here.
Yeah. So like,
okay,
here's this opportunity where it's all covered essentially. What's up?
And noted though, I'm still going to go to Guadalajara because that's where my part of my roots are and I want to go.
No, yeah, for sure, for sure.
But this was like our first deep Mexico experience.
Yeah.
And by deep Mexico, we mean geographically speaking.
See, yeah.
Not really like...
Culturally.
Cancun is interesting.
It is, man. It's funny because volamos aquí from the States and we left literally like the moment we said yes, that very same day. We
were 24 hours, not even 24 hours later.
We were already at the airport.
So we said yes, como a las 9:10 de la mañana, one day, and we went to Target, compramos toiletries, swimwear. Actually, you know what? I didn't pack a bathing suit.
No, because like-
I didn't have one.
You were going to be a good sport. First of all, you don't like water that much, but you were also going
to
be a good sport.
No, pero pues I wanted to be like by the water, attire. Y todavía no sacaban like bathing suits en la Target. So I found nothing. Mm-hmm. I ended up just with the bare minimum. And we got home, packed it all up. No dormimos. Nos fuimos como a las 9 de la noche. Mm-hmm. We drove to San Diego, arrived at the airport like at 3-4 a.m. And our flight was leaving at 6.
Super wild.
In the morning.
Super wild.
You do the math.
We did a connecting flight, I think in Florida or something like that.
I don't remember.
No me acuerdo, but I think it was Florida. The point is, it was funny because like everybody that was there in the plane was like in party mode.
No. It was Texas.
It was Texas?
Yeah, it was Texas.
Everybody was in party mode. Like everybody that was going to go to Cancun.
Was ready. Everybody had a bathing suit. Mm-hmm. Except me.
They had had like the little straw hats. They had the bathing suit. Yeah, like there was this whole entourage.
Everybody was already alcoholized. Sí. Is that a word?
Yeah, like estaban crunk.
Ya andaban desde el airport. It was a fun flight.
It was. It really was.
Interesting enough, though, muy pocos mexicanos. Mm-hmm. From the get-go, at the gate. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
From Texas, like that's where the amount of Mexicans started dwindling.
Yeah.
It's so weird because like from Arizona to Texas, había varias razas. Like there was Mexicans there. But from Texas to Cancun,
We flew from San Diego.
Oh, Simón. Ese mero.
To Texas. And there was plenty of Hispanics. Uh-huh. Oh, remember the little boy that looked like he was like DACA or something?
Oh, that's right.
Broke my heart.
Yeah. Oh, that's where we met that one person también who had just like literally gotten out from the detention center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was nice too. I hope she's doing okay.
Pero it was like very, very different. Arriving in Texas and there was like, you could tell there was like bachelorette parties.
Yeah. Cause they were like,
it was
all
like
matching.
A girls trip.
Yeah.
Boys trips, family trip. And then you and me.
Yeah. And then you and me. And it was funny because like, yo en verdad no sabía qué esperar. Again, like somos mexicanos, sabemos español, pero nunca hemos estado en México. And all we know about Mexico, honestly, is lo que nos dice El Ford Quarterman, shout out to Ford Quarterman, lo que nos dice el gringo, y lo que nos dice las noticias y primer impacto. Y primer impacto makes it sound like Mexico is like about to blow up, you know, at all times.
I know. And then we live in a border town, so it doesn't help that we have a lot of like...
headlines that are not so good.
Yeah. Y luego, I mean, not to gaslight, is that the word now?
I would say so. Sure, why not?
On our parents. Uh-huh. Pero we've been pushing, I think ever since we started this podcast, we've been pushing to like explore our Mexican roots more.
Yeah.
Y desde chiquitos, like we were just talked, is that the word?
Yeah.
No, that's not the word.
O sea, nos inculcaron pues, ¿verdad?
We were always hearing like, no vayan, es muy dangerous. And when we told them that we had plans to go to Guadalajara, they were all dreading it.
Yeah, they were all like, worried.
They were worried.
Estaban preocupados for sure.
Mi mamá no lo expresaba tanto. But then when the plans fell through, she's like, oh, I'm so happy. Que no fueron. And I was like, Mom, I'm so tired of just watching Ford Quarterman explore Mexico like nada. And we've never been and we don't know it and we want to. And it's like gringos know Mexico more than we do. And that's not cool.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It doesn't sit right with me 100%.
No, and the fact is, ¿verdad? Y si el gringo está escuchando y dice, ¿qué? ¿La traen contra mí? No, no la traemos contra ti. If anything.
You're inspiring
exactly.
Me.
Exactly.
It's like,
what's our excuse?
I want to be there. I want to do that. Exactly.
Like, if he's living his best life, what's my excuse? To go, like, go conocer, ¿verdad? Uh-huh. So fuimos, y estábamos ahí en Cancún y primeramente, like, everything seems, like, the airport scene, it's pretty straightforward, pretty similar, because we've been in the Philippines, we've been like in the Dominican Republic.
Very much owed to the third world country airport. Yeah.
Todos ahí queriendo, like, you know, una feria, like here and there, like, oh, yo tengo las maletas, quieren feria. Oh, ¿va dónde vas? Ese vato quiere feria. Like, aunque ni es taxista y se está apuntando a un taxista, that guy who's pointing to the taxi man quiere feria.
I think that might have been our most genuinely culturally
typical
experience. The only experience we had like that in Cancun was the taxi drive.
The taxi
because
drive.
Because we had pre-arranged it.
Yeah, so with everything some was pre-booked already. Yeah, well, you know, Billy had everything already planned out.
No, no, amor. Cuando llegamos, we made those arrangements.
Oh, the transportation to the hotel.
The transportation to the places. To the Airbnb. When we first got there.
Uh-huh.
They were friends of a friend.
See.
And Jehovah's Witness. Sweet people, our people.
Mm-hmm.
And just the conversation was so nice.
It was really
like, y nos estaban como sugiriendo qué comer y qué hacer and all these things. So I was super hyped for like the Mexican Yucatan experience, Maya Rivera experience.
Yeah, nos estaban diciendo everything like
Rivera?
The peninsula Riviera. Had to offer.
Riviera.
You know, like lo bonito que eran los lugares, the places to check out y todo eso. Like it sounded really, really nice. Y that conversation, yeah, it's true. It did kind of like hype us up for like, okay, great. We're in for it. Pero what was interesting and kind of disappointing, pero pues ni modo, it's the circumstances of where we're at.
We need to go back, but
is that Cancun in particular, I don't know qué otras partes de México son así, pero Cancun en particular, when we get there, it's like la carretera looks like Mexico, but then everything else, it's blocked by, the best way that I can describe it would be a paywall.
It's very commercialized.
A paywall. Yeah. Hazte cuenta como que, like, you can't go in here unless you have a membership to it.
And I had heard people talk about like Cancun no es de México, you know, like el turismo has taken over. And I didn't understand it until I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
It was so interesting.
Like we were hoping for more of a Pueblo Mágico feel, lo más que ahí donde estábamos particularmente en esas áreas de Cancun, that was not it.
Y luego pues no fuimos como with our own plans. Mm-mm. We were attached to this work event.
Yeah.
You know, worked by other people.
Yep. O sea, vamos de raite.
I mean, they were Americanos,
yeah,
right?
They vamos de raite, they were gringos. We're there like...
Fuimos los colados. Like, we were plan D. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we couldn't get picky. I felt like I couldn't get picky. I was just happy by being there. And honestly, like, it was a good experience.
It was.
But it wasn't the ultimate...
It wasn't Mexico lindo querido.
Mexican gastronomía típica.
Andale.
Like... experience.
Sí, sí.
But an experience, let alone.
It was. Now, to kind of dive in into the experience itself, it was very luxurious, right? Like,
same.
I mean, if anything, shout out to Billy because he did go all out in this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Airbnb was this like mansion looking thing with its private beach access in this part of
a gated community.
No era Cancun, era como más.
We drove like 20 minutes from the airport.
Puerto Ventura se llamaba, cerca de Playa del Carmen.
Yeah.
And I mean, absolutely stunning,
gorgeous,
right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. And we obviously enjoyed the hospitality porque era la raza, right? Catering. Everybody who was catering that was, you know, offering.
The staff was all Mexican.
Sí.
So, so that was cool.
We definitely felt catered too, especially the moment we spoke Spanish to them. They're like, hey, ¿qué pasó?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the volada.
They hooked me up the whole time.
Everything was fancy from the dinner we had. I've never had a tomahawk steak in my life.
Yeah.
We had tomahawk steak there. Under the starlight. So, like, no me voy a quejar.
By the water.
By the water. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, underwhelming. It was absolutely beautiful.
It was great.
Right?
Yeah.
And we got to meet all kinds of different people, younger people, too.
Mm-hmm. Siento que we were, like, the older ones.
We
there.
Were. Right. We definitely felt that way.
Pero and I wasn't 30 yet.
Let me
just put it out there.
Let the record show she was not 30 yet. Pero, like... Definitely younger crowds that were all trying to be entrepreneurs or are entrepreneurs.
Hustlers, motivated, driven, creative people that I was like so happy to meet because I didn't quite understand what you wanted to do with our business. But when I was sitting there con Federico in the in the bar area, listening into the seminars, into the speakers, I was like, oh, okay, this is making sense now.
Yeah.
Because it's such a new way of making a living created by like typical, you know, driven young people who are not really satisfied with the college life or the typical education system.
Yeah, exactly.
Paving way to something so innovative and new. And I think I just didn't understand you because you don't really explain things to me very easily.
That's kind of my fault, to be honest.
Pero ya cuando los escuché, ellos, that whole, how was it, a 3-day thing?
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh my God, like these, they know what they're doing. We just have to, you know, implement it.
Yeah.
And it was so different from like, obviously corporate like seminars that we've been to and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot more lively and relaxed and chill, but nonetheless, focused and driven.
Yeah.
With a lot of, you know, focus on content creating. And like, I got to see that side, like, oh, they're working. They're here having fun, but they're working.
Everything is planned out.
Everything is content. And I was like, okay, this is how we have to do things if we want to go that way.
Right. It was interesting because at first I was a little worried about the vibe. I thought that was going to be like too young, two college bros, así como que like
party. I honestly thought that I was going to walk into a frat house.
Yeah. I was worried about that too.
I was a little scared. I was happy que no nos estábamos quedando like where the event was happening. So we could like detach.
Right.
Things got a little too uncomfortable for me.
But it never got to that point.
No, it never did. And then we were the older ones. So I felt like people like, it's fine. You know, if they don't want to do this or do that.
Because those who wanted to, like they went and looked for like, you know, parties out of their own, on their own way.
Después.
Yeah. Pero like talking to them itself, it was nice and refreshing.
We did the typical thing your parents do.
Which is what?
Which now I think now I'm going to ask my parents and your parents if this is what they're doing just to get out of things.
What? Do what?
We kept saying like, we're too old for this. Like, oh, que vamos pa' acá, que ya eran como las 11 de la noche and they still wanted to like after the event, like do things. And we were like, no, we're just in our 30s now.
We're old.
You guys go have fun and stuff. But now I'm wondering.
I mean,
we can't blame it on kids. That's never going to be our excuse.
No,
we're just like, yes, I'm almost like manqueando aquí, you know?
I mean, 11 is late, yo. We're 11 o'clock, you're like 11 o'clock, isn't that late?
And the time difference, it got to me.
Yeah.
And then you had just gone out of surgery and
casi
like,
me moría.
All that stuff.
Three hours ahead.
I was not sleepy.
Yeah, no.
Ese día que llegamos, we had not slept.
Sí,
y queríamos, you know, ponches, and we were like, nah, we're going to go to bed.
We're going to bed, that's it.
We connected to the meeting that night.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Era las... like 10 de la noche and we connected. I don't remember it. I think I fell asleep probably towards the end, but it was so funny.
Yeah. And overall, it was refreshing to us talking to like, you know, a bunch of younger dudes that they were not only trying to hustle for the sake of hustle, like así como que like living life, like así gloriously or muy lujosa. If anything, they just wanted a means to an end. And sure, there's a lot of money to be made, but more importantly, they were trading it for living on that term, ¿verdad? Because there was people that actually lived in Playa del Carmen. There was people that actually live in that slower pace of lifestyle and they were able to achieve it.
And younger than us and like single, like solos. Yeah, like aquí estoy.
And they were able to achieve it by the businesses that they started through e-commerce, through, you know, content, through social media marketing, o sea, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it was nice getting that exposure for sure.
Yeah, and I thought it was so cute because, I mean, la mayoría, I don't know why, but statistically, la mayoría eran boys.
They're all white boys, dude.
They're all boys. And I thought it was so cute because a lot of them, when they were speaking, they were talking about how they just wanted to buy their mom a house.
Yeah.
Like, that's their core motivation is so sweet and pure. And it really made me feel like that's just, like, what we're all trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just what we're all trying to do is do good for the people that we love with the things that we love to do.
It's funny because you're reminding me that when Billy did his portion, because, you know, it was different speakers, different coaches, different everything.
Yeah.
And when Billy did his, he mentioned that the reason why he started his own business is because he wanted to be always, he wanted the ability to always get guac at Chipotle.
It's about the small things in life, guys.
You know, which is cool because, again, typically when you see this space, especially online with all these folks who want to start their businesses, you see the photos that the Lamborghinis, you can this and can that, and it's kind of tired, right? That image gets tired. So seeing people that just want more guacamole from Chipotle, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I'm for that. So again, Great, great trip. We did a lot of things that were touristing, like fuimos a los cenotes, because los llevaron, fuimos a ver.
Was it a cenote, though?
I think era como un cenote.
Like, I think cenote was the what was promised, but then lost in translation.
Yeah, it was like
kind of
like.
And when I say lost in translation, I mean, they didn't ask for our help. So that's why it got lost, because we were probably the only Spanish speakers there.
Yeah, that's true.
So we were stuck translating a lot.
A lot.
Guys, like a lot. Trying to keep one guy from not dying from his allergies.
And Josh is almost dying over there.
Somebody did end up needing an EpiPen because they were had a peanut allergy and nobody told the staff.
And they had mole.
And they had mole. They had served mole. We were not there the day they served mole, so we were like, we could have avoided this dude. But pues, he survived. He's okay. But
he's okay.
A lot of Americanos have a lot of allergies. So, yeah. And it's scary when you're somewhere where you don't know the language or you can't express your language. Mm-hmm. So
no, I don't say nothing. It was like more like a float down. I guess
you guys need to be proud of me. I went not scuba.
Snorkeling. Yeah, that's what we did.
I had a little mini panic attack before because nobody told me that that's what we were doing. Pero ese día que, what happened? We were supposed to end up at a yacht, bro. But it was too windy.
The yacht was too windy, so they said no to the yacht. So then
they scrambled this last minute experience.
Yeah, and we went to on a cenote.
And we didn't go.
It wasn't a cenote. It was like by the beach snorkeling experience.
Snorkeling.
I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So then all of a sudden,
hold on. To be fair, there was also skydiving, but we said no to the skydiving.
Pues no. But then all of a sudden, me dieron goggles and a life jacket, mm-hmm. life vest. And I was like, I don't do water. what are we doing? And because everybody was so down, I felt like good peer pressure. They could I'm not going to be the baby that gets stuck behind.
Ay, sí, por favor.
You know? Yeah, so then I tried to get through it. And then me puse a life jacket. And then it was so tight. And I was oh, my God, I'm going to pass out. Subpar. I didn't enjoy it. I could have gone without it.
Really? Didn't like any of the fishes that you saw?
They look like the sad part of Nemo. So to me, it was okay, I saw a dory once.
I was looking for the barracuda.
I didn't want to see a barracuda.
Because the Sienkel barracuda is the Tacañoli barracuda. It will kill you, right?
Well, kind of, but I don't think it would kill you.
Oh, so that it would attack you, right?
Sí, como que es agresivo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're be careful to not look at the barracuda. And they're like, what if it looks at you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, man, that trip itself, me encantó. Lo único, I wish that I had more of El México auténtico que conocemos to some degree.
Yeah.
Pero como estaba todo tan americanizado, mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing per se, pero it definitely didn't feel like México.
Yeah.
Playa del Carmen did not feel like México. In fact, the main strip of Playa del Carmen felt more like Europe more than anything.
Yeah. By where the mall is?
Tulum is un pueblo chiquito, but it's basically.
Yeah. Los últimos dos días we ended up in Tulum. After the event, we did our own thing with your small group of
my immediate team.
Coworkers.
Yeah.
And that was fun because we got to get a moped ourselves mm-hmm. and do what we wanted at whatever time we wanted, whenever we wanted. That's when you had chilaquiles, mm-hmm. which was the only, and we had tacos at Playa del Carmen, which were
okay.
They were fine.
Yeah.
Pero surprisingly, in Puerto Venturas, we had the cochinita, which was the best.
Oh, yeah, también.
Which was what I wanted to taste. Because that was something so típico de ahí, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we have to go back.
We do. We have to go and
plan our own thing.
Our own thing, exactly. Mm-hmm. Again, no le quito. I don't take anything away from that experience itself. It was, honestly, I believe once in a lifetime. I don't think.
Dude, yeah.
I don't think I would ever be in a situation where I'm shelling out.
First of all, we wouldn't be able to afford a mansion.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to afford the Airbnb that we stayed at.
No.
Which was beautiful.
Yep.
The plants, guys, I died. There were so many plants everywhere. And me las quería traer todas para acá.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. And what's to say? It's just that as much as we enjoyed it, as much as I enjoyed it, as much as I love taking that picture under the palm tree and with my laptop and making it look like, oh my God, look how cool I am working remotely. Al fin del día, it's not us, you know, to some extent. So we have to go back. Nos encantó, but I think como que quedó más to explore for sure.
Yeah.
At least for us.
Yeah.
So there's definitely parts that we can explore yendo para atrás a Cancún. Because una cosa que sí me acuerdo, babe, y se me hizo tan surreal, is we were coming up to one of the gated communities, you know, in Puerto mm-hmm. Venturas that we're going to stay in. Mm-hmm. eran como las 5 de la tarde. And we saw a bunch of Mexicanos walking in a single file
sí.
to the bus stop. And I asked, like, what's going on? Oh, well, their shift is over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so weird seeing la gente. How do I say this? It's weird seeing people in su propio país working for a place that they could probably never, ever afford.
Mm-hmm.
And
for others.
And they're back to the reality of what Mexico is to their circumstances.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Cancun is very...
It's haves and haves nots.
It's very Americanized in that way. Like, is this Mexico?
Ándale.
Because se siente como
pues la aquí. Frontera.
Yeah, aquí. Because, you know, muchas veces vas como...
A San Luis.
Or aquí en los Estados Unidos cuando vas a un hotel o algo así, a un restaurante, the staff is Hispanic, Andale. Latinos, Mexicanos, whatever, Spanish speakers. But when you go to Mexico, like aquí hemos ido a México, ¿no? And like it's not really like that. It's like Mexicanos viven y trabajan the same. It's equal to me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like los que vienen para acá a trabajar y después, you know, hay fila para regresar. We see that too, but when you actually cross over to Mexicali and San Luis and all that stuff, it's the same.
Right.
It's even. Like, I don't feel, it's more like algodones, you know? It's like algodones is like medium. We're like, okay, vivimos en algodones, trabajamos en algodones, pero the consumer is Americano.
Ándale.
And Cancun is very much like that.
Yeah.
We live here, we work here, and the consumer is tourism. So.
Except that. The consumer in this case in Cancun gets to stay by the beautiful beaches and
yeah.
Y los Mexicanos típicamente really. No.
Yeah.
That's what I mentioned. Like, for example, here in the border towns, like in San Luis, digamos, right? We see people that trabajan en el fil, right? They're walking to the bus stop, and then when it's time to leave, they go back to Mexico. Their country, para Mexico, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
And it felt weird seeing that same scenario play out there.
When you're in Mexico.
When you're already in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you see.
Yeah, so. Pero por eso queremos regresar.
Yeah.
No que no. It's not that we didn't like it. It's just that queremos conocer más la gente. We're all about that.
Yeah. It's beautiful. The weather is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, nunca había estado en una playa tan clarita and like warm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rico se sentía. So, porque sí metí los pies. Okay, guys. I don't get in the ocean much, but I tried it. And it's something that we constantly see on social media that there's just so much more to do there. So we want to go back.
Absolutely. Pero, do we recommend Cancun, Tulum, Puerto?
100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
Everybody should experience it at least one time.
You know, it's a lot to see. And ultimately, in those places, you make whatever it is that you want out of it. Así que nosotros vamos a ir con esa intención para la próxima vez. And we cannot wait. But until then, as always, thank you all for listening to
The 50-50.
And once again, everyone, thank you all for listening to The 50-50. Again, before going any further, big shout out to our sponsors, The 50-50 Media. That is us. We offer podcast launching services for businesses. So if you have a business, coaching business, travel agency, if you are a fitness coach, you have an audience and you want to engage with them and you have no idea where to start with the podcast, that's where we can help. We go from A to Z. We take care of everything from the logo, from writing episodes to what equipment to use. We coach you. We publish it for you. We are your producers. We are your coaches. Estamos aquí para ayudarte. So, you know, feel free to check it out. And that is at the the50fify.com. We offer a free consultation to go ahead and check out your needs. Thank you so much for everybody that's been working with us. And thank you for the super cool sponsor.
You're calling yourself super
cool. I am.
That's kind of cool.
Right. I think I would say, I can say that.
Yeah.
I can say that. Man, Cancun. Me encantó, pero me hubiera gustado estar más en el agua, but I couldn't because I still had like a scar that was kind of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the beach is beautiful. I loved how clear the water was. I love how relaxing it is.
I think I was just, because I'm not a beach person. I'm not a tropical person.
Mm-mm.
But I was so happy to be alive with you.
Yeah.
Next to you. Because you, like 2 days before we left, you were like, on the verge of dying on me. And so I think I was just like finally relaxing, finally feeling like I could breathe. And what better place to be at than by the water?
That's true. It was a very, we didn't realize, I think, how much we needed a trip like that.
After an experience or an event like that, that was so stressful. And then like we were between Xolo and here and somebody was house sitting for us and we didn't want to kick them out. So you had your surgery, we were with your parents and all of that was just like, I felt like a little nomad, you know, like I didn't really have my things and my space and my people around me because like I had left Pichu's and the kids. My mom was in a different place, you know, and I was like, Jesse's not here. Oh, because guys, fun fact, because of COVID, I wasn't able to be there.
Oh, yeah. We totally forgot to mention
so
that.
So I was just like trying
to... In the hospital.
Yeah.
You couldn't be in the hospital.
No, I couldn't be in the hospital. Yeah, so I was just trying to like not freak out because I was with your mom and your mom. I'm thinking your mom was trying to not freak out because I was there too. Like we were just stressed and trying to support each other emotionally. Which was nice, but it was kind of hard to like feel like I could feel all my feels. Yeah. You know how I am.
Yeah, no, entiendo. So being able to have that moment, just take a break.
Yeah, like, oh, we dodged that bullet. Okay. Yeah.
Like, yes, it was a work event, but my job wasn't really involved other than just enjoying the event and helping some people with translating and just connecting with others, you know? So we had a lot of time to just unwind.
Yeah. And because we didn't really know anyone, like nobody was really attached to us. Mm-hmm. We could really be with each other.
Yeah.
We didn't feel like, at least I didn't feel
like
I had to be acá, you know,
like con hosting. Otra gente. Uh-huh. We weren't hosting the thing. So we didn't have to like be on and attend to everybody.
Mm-hmm. We were just going with the flow. Wherever they had planned, okay, ahora vamos a ir para acá, súbete a este taxi, vamos a este restaurante. Okay, they had everything planned.
That was really nice of Billy because, like, I mean, he could have made me, like, or asked me at least, you know, to do more, but he legit just said, enjoy the trip, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so, yeah. Honestly, man, thanks a lot. We loved it. Y más que nada, we took a lot from it, and it's interesting to know just at what time it needed, and it was a much needed time. That we needed some type of break, especially in after nearly dying. I think it.
Well, let's explain a little bit of that because we're not being dramatic for the sake of being dramatic.
No. I mean, I would love to. I would love to just be dramatic for the sake of being dramatic, but no.
I mean, we hear a lot of people whose appendix burst, right?
Fine, yeah.
And sometimes they're already at the hospital. Sometimes they're near hospital. Sometimes they're in their hometown. Mm-hmm. We were not in our hometown. We were not near our doctor. Mm-mm. But we were obviously like around the hospital and stuff. But it just feels different. By the time you got seen and were advised to come back to Yuma, we drove back. You got denied twice.
To get tested.
By two different PCPs. Mm-hmm. And finally, we decided to just wait for your fever to come back because you were feverish. Mm-hmm. And since we had already ruled out COVID, we didn't really know what was happening. And then when we got to the ER, like after 3 hours of waiting, the doctor finally saw you and immediately told you it was appendicitis.
Yeah,
like he had not even done a test yet, but he just talked to you, listened to you.
Oh, that's a big one. That's a key word right there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Listened to you and was like, yeah, it sounds like that, but I can't say anything until we you know, do the CT scan. So they said on the CT scan, and turns out your appendix looked irritated.
Oh man, and then so they were like, ese mismo día, they hospitalized me. They tell me that the surgery was gonna happen early the next morning. Mm-hmm. And by the way, because it's COVID, Jessica, you gotta bounce.
Yeah, Sunday was like the last day that I could be there. So after your surgery, I was there. Mm-hmm. But then during your recovery, I was kicked out.
Yeah, that was it. And like, you know, the next morning rolls in, Jessica still wasn't able to allow to, like, she, like, no te dejaban entrar.
Until 10,
and then shortly after that, not at all, right?
Yeah.
So, it was too early for you to be allowed in. I go in through the pre-op procedure, pretty standard stuff. I get put under, wake up, right? Or at least that's what I think that happened, unless this is all a dream ever since
then.
Don't
start with your timeline.
So, the doctor comes up, man, and says, like, yeah, everything went well. Pretty interesting, though. Your appendix had burst for a whole week.
No. Let's go back.
What?
Let's go back.
Okay.
Because I was there.
Okay.
You were still in recovery.
Oh, that's right. That's
the
right,
doctor
that's right.
comes to me.
He tells you.
For Juarez. And then sweet guy. I forgot his name. And he's like, yeah, it turns out your husband's appendix bursted a week ago. And because he had all this scar tissue around it, it was able to encapsulate the poison. But you didn't go jaundice. And I was like, excuse me?
That sounds pretty bad.
But he told me super chill, as doctors, surgeons do.
Yeah.
And then I didn't ask questions. Because that's who I am. I was like, okay, he's alive. Punto. To me, it's like, he's
that's
alive,
all
he's well.
Matters. Yeah. Punto. Yeah.
So then I go to your room and they wheel you in and we're talking to Pichus. And I told you, I'm like, the doctor told me that your appendix bursted a week ago. And you and Pichus were like, that's not possible. That's not what he said. Jessica heard it wrong. And I was like, fine. Okay, y'all. I'm not going to argue. Jess is alive. I don't care. But acá entra el surgeon after you woke up and we're like, fine. He explained it to you and you could not believe it.
I really couldn't. I was like, wait, hold on. Tell me again. What? And yeah, he explains it to me. He's like, yeah, sure enough, it had already been bursted for a whole week. And if it wasn't for the scar tissue, it would have gotten really bad. And it's like, wait, can't this like, couldn't this kill me? And he's like, oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like it's, and then he's like, it's so interesting how like your scar tissue just did that. LOL.
He was so tickled by it. He was just like, oh, it happened.
Like, huh, you know? Like, apparently your scar tissue, like, kept it all contained even though it was busted.
Did you ever look up at how many people actually that happens?
No, like, but what percent? He said, oh, that was interesting, as in, like, uh-huh.
Like, what a funny journey for you.
Como que, like, he didn't say it, like, in a way, como que, like, oh, yeah, that's usually the norm or that.
Yeah,
can
no, it's not normal, but he didn't pull it out of proportion, like, oh, my God.
He was just like, isn't that funny?
Uh-huh, como que,
isn't that cool? Yo sí como que like, casi me moría. You guys, like, what? And I felt so mad because, like, everything that I was talking about the whole week prior con nosotros doctores that wouldn't get me treated.
Yeah, we weren't trying to keep your appendix bursted for a whole week. No. We were trying to get it done, like, within the day or two that you like, started feeling pain.
Bro, like, let's go do the test. And they're like, no, you're just being hysterical. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what?
Can we talk about how everybody thought you had diabetes?
Everyone thought I had diabetes.
It was so annoying.
Sir, do you have diabetes? No.
We're like standing like, why do you always assume why that I have diabetes? Assume.
And then I get up the chair and go. O sea, me viene aquí como like chonch and saying, okay, it's the guy, the plano.
He has to have it.
He has to have it. That is weightism. Is that like a thing? Like a
stigma? I don't know, but it really rubbed me the wrong way.
There's definitely a stigma with seeing people that are overweight and assuming that they have XYZ. You know? We talked about this when it comes to one of the episodes.
Jesse is the healthy one. I am not. Yeah. But it doesn't look that way.
Apparently. According to society.
According to all these border town doctors.
Oh, man. Point is, I hate my PCPs. I fired them.
We need new ones, guys.
I'll say new ones. And I'll even say their names. Dr. Sandoval and Sarah Dieterman here in the Yuma area. Just absolute trash. I would say that Dieterman is not trash, but she is slow sometimes in noticing these things and ordering things and then backing up her claim.
That was just our experience. But yeah, it was a big miss.
Yeah, he sucks.
Big miss. It was kind of infuriating.
Yeah, don't go to him. Unless you want to like flirt with death, which is apparently what I did.
He's very young, he's very new. So we were hoping that it was like, okay, he's gonna try everything.
Nil. All he tried was his own mind to get like, according to my experience of
ego,
2 weeks.
Yeah, his young ego got in the way.
Yeah, oh well.
Pero anywho's in, he's
are.
Alive. You're
Aquí
a
estamos.
Tough cookie. Uh-huh. I am not a widow at 29.
No. Now that you're 30, now is a good time.
Now is a good time.
Yeah.
Now it's okay. It's an even number. I can work with that.
That's, you got it. I'll do my best. but that was it, man. That was a little bit of the near-death experience that I had, I guess. Another one. And a little
another
bit of,
one.
I know, for real. And another Cancun trip. Tomorrow. Next week, we're going to talk about the other trip, which, you know, if you guys have been listening for this long, we'll just say it. It's Ireland. We're going to talk about Ireland.
They're probably sick of our Instagram anyways.
No.
Sorry, guys. Not over it. Europe trip is our next episode, so stick around.
Stick around. Y como siempre, everybody, thank you all for listening to
The 50-50.